Hello, this is Brooke Peterson. I am the producer and host of Sweet Life, the show bringing to you whatever helps and whatever works to make it sweet. The next guest I have for us is coming to us from the Training Connection. We have spoken to her before. She is now officially a regular. And granted, this is just my humble, if not super snotty opinion, but I feel like there are two things that can ruin first impressions: unfortunate speaking and unfortunate writing, obviously depending on the circumstances. And neither one of these are an indicator of a person's intelligence, yet it can make the other in the encounter think otherwise. Very sad. The point is that your speaking and your writing abilities are critical in how others interpret you. Conversely, when one has sharp speaking and writing skills, doors open, people listen, and guess what? You're taken seriously, which is important. Written or spoken, your words are powerful. And today, we are focusing on the written word. Back here to help is Alincia Williams from the Training Connection in Los Angeles. Ms. Williams has 15 years of corporate training experience working with professionals in various industries in the U.S. and overseas, beginning her career as a corporate communications consultant in Tokyo, Japan. She created cross-cultural training programs for such clients as Deutsche Bank, Nissan, and Johnson & Johnson. Thank you for joining us, Alincia Williams.
Hi, Brooke. How are you?
I am so well. Thank you for being with us again today. How do you explain to people in your workshops the importance of being able to write well these days?
Well, I think that people just write often to get things done. So a lot of the clients that come in, they don't even realize why they're in business writing, or maybe they have just seen that they've made a couple of mistakes that were careless. But often they're just doing things off the top of their head. So the first thing I start with is getting them to differentiate creative writing from business writing. And when you get that differentiated, you can start to focus in on, I need a strategy, I need a formula, so that the documentation, which is business writing, leaves me without, vulnerability to any other accusation, but just getting things done.
And how do you differentiate between the two for people?
Well, the differentiation is definitely that, I get them to talk about what are the descriptive words that they might use towards creative writing. And they'll say things like, impressive, or, suspenseful, emotional, passionate. And business writing is the opposite of all of that. You want to get to your point right away, and you want it to be clear exactly where this communication is going, and then you need to be very responsible versus emotional. So just because you have the anonymity you can hide behind these words, it might not be the best idea to press send. And even especially within today's age, you can't even just keep that in your draft folder. You need to press delete and just do not document that you were angry or that you were accusing someone of something or misrepresenting the company, but really you're speaking in an emotional way. Like, you guys didn't ever get this to me, and exaggerating, that can come back because it's written communication. And it's there to document. And if we use too much emotion there, it could come back to haunt us. Yeah,
that's so interesting. I never really even thought about the whole draft. Sometimes, especially, these days, I feel like people they have this ability to react and emote, react and send, but before they even realize what they're doing. And now you can even put it, out there in the world, not even just in your company, on, Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever. And I know somebody personally who was fired because of something she wrote on Facebook out of a work situation. And so is it hard for you to tell people to just take a breath, to relax and give it some time to cool down? Do people resist that?
I think that once you start giving them cases on how even like something handwritten, there was a case with Walgreens where there were some pharmacists who were writing on the back of the prescription saying things like, this is the dragon, this is the crazy lady, because of what they were waiting in line for. And the woman saw it, and of course she was able to sue the company, and those pharmacists lost their jobs. When you think of the implications of, you know, you are applying for jobs on company email, or that you, you know, were rude to a customer, those kind of things, because you put it in writing, there's no question that it came from you, and of course, you will have to suffer the consequences of that communication as a representative of the company. So when they start to see those situations, I think that it kind of makes them stop and think, oh my gosh, what did I say on Twitter? What did I say on Facebook? Should I have that available to my colleagues anymore? They start to consider. I think that it's just, you know, it's kind of like when you had the dentist show up to your fifth grade or fourth grade class with the bad pictures of teeth. When you show them some of these examples, they think,
ooh,
that could never happen to me, but there was that thing I wrote the other day.
Yeah. Maybe that wasn't such a good idea after all.
Right.
Yeah. It's just so easy to make that mistake, I think, for many, many people. But aside from that, which, you know, hopefully most people don't fall into that, you know, situation, what do you find to be the most common mistakes with just normal business writing, whether it's the email, not an angry one, just a normal email, resume or cover letter? What do you see the most that you would like to for people to be aware of?
Well, another issue with creative writing is it can be wordy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a complete turnoff. If you look at how recruiters look at a resume, 7 seconds, person even looks at an email for 2 seconds to figure out what is it about. And if a person has written more than 2 lines in a paragraph of an email, the rest of it doesn't really get read.
Mm.
Because just like with textbook reading, you look at the first line as the most critical of each of the paragraphs. So if they just, you know, beat around the bush and they don't make their main point clear, then, you know, it just becomes some long drama that the person decides, I'll read a little bit more about that later.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to them. I'll pick up the phone.
Now, that's interesting to me. So each paragraph should probably be no more than 2 lines. Is that what you basically just said?
Right. No more than 2 lines. When you're writing an email, you want it to be easy on the eye, so it's readily digestible.
Yes.
The more lines that you put, and you notice how emails are by default in single spacing or single line spacing, that the more lines you see, the less you think you have time to read.
Yes.
And to figure
it's
out.
It's overwhelming, sure.
Mm.
Now, what happens if your email, this is interesting for you. So what happens if you have an email and you're addressing or bringing up 3 different points? Should you make that 3 separate emails to make it like sort of bite-sized chunks? Or is it okay to address 3 different things in a certain way?
Well, that's a very good question. I would start with, are they about the same topic? The purpose of your email is you need to convey something also in the interest of your audience. What is the pull for them? Like, I need this report is not enough. I need this report so that I can get this to the client. Here are 3 things that I need. Use bullet points. That's different than, you know, your long business proposals. Even business proposals, you can, you know, shrink down a bit. But use bullet points and say, okay, first do it like this. Remember to get it by this time. And here's the number in case you have any questions. So use bullet points. So if somebody throws in a PS or by the way, they really should have started a new email, because the only reason we did that was back in the day we were using typewriters, and by the time you got to the end of the mail, you'd go, oh my gosh, I just remembered I needed to tell you about this.
Right.
But when we're searching our email box and we're trying to find all the information about regarding a particular client, and that little bit, that, you know, sentence that you put that was related to another topic is now lost without a way to, like, properly search it because it belongs to another email thread. So
gotcha. That makes so much sense.
Recommended to start a new email.
Yeah, no, that's great. So if it's grouped together, either the same topic or same client, it's okay to put them together. But if it's separate topic, separate idea, new email.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. that's easy to remember. That makes sense. I think it mm-hmm. for I think well, I'm projecting because it's probably just for me, but I think it's just easier to just you're thinking about something, you're getting something done off your desk, out of your mind, just putting it all, lumping it together and being, you know, sending it, and it's you know, can be done with it and move on, and instead of really doing it the right way and maybe taking the extra little moment to make a different email.
Right.
It's just discipline. That darn discipline again.
Right. Well, you want to, like, if you have a formula to work with, it makes it that much more efficient. Whereas when you're just doing things off the top of your head with no strategy, then there's two types of personalities. You have the type of personality who likes to write, like, novels to people. And then you have the other personality who just writes, yep, got it done.
Yes, that's so true.
And they don't think they're wrong, but unfortunately, or they say, where did you send that? And that's in specific. It's not clear what that person, you know, wants. And the other party is telling you too much information.
Yeah.
So if you're using some kind of formula, which is what I teach in my class at Training Connection, if you plug in those parts, you can start to make that your fluency and your way of addressing a non-emotional, objective way of responding and sending emails.
Non-emotional and objective. Sounds mm-hmm. good. Sounds very business-like. Very professional.
Yeah. Going to be on paper, you know, or it's going to be written.
Yeah, documented, mm-hmm. like you said, and saved for, you know, in perpetuity. Well, when we come back from break, we'll talk about this formula, if we can. Mm-hmm. Before we leave, though, for the break, what is your opinion about, speaking of Twitter, I think I've mentioned Twitter like 15 times so far.
Yeah.
In this world of, you know, abbreviated sentences and texting, are you finding that people's writing skills in general are really suffering, or are people able to separate the two?
I think it can be a generational issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the generation that is using a lot of the technology. Well, they can start to incorporate some of the wrong spelling or those different emoticons into their writing, and they think that they're communicating. And then there could be an older generation that, you know, some of them, it's just they need a refresher in grammar because the way that they speak colloquially is now affecting their business communication. And the ones that I think are, it's really funny, they're most concerned about their grammar are the ones who don't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who are obsessing. And when I search the net for, you know, more ideas for my class, they're the ones who are actually correcting all the Americans, you know, on better, you know, use of the English language. It always surprises me.
That is funny. The irony. Okay, well, don't go anywhere, anybody.
Right.
We are going to be right back with Alincia Williams from Training Connection. She is brushing us up on our business writing skills. You're listening to Sweet Life. I am Brooke Peterson, streaming live from LancerRadio.org from Pasadena City College. Don't go anywhere. Hello, you're listening to Sweet Life. I am Brooke Peterson. We are streaming live from LancerRadio.org. Thank you for tuning in and joining me. I'm talking to Alincia Williams. She is a professional trainer at the Training Connection here in Los Angeles. And we are talking today about our business writing skills. Hi, Alincia.
Hi, Brooke.
So let's get back to it. You mentioned your three-step formula, which sounds interesting to me. Would you mind giving us an idea of what that is?
Sure. Well, the first thing that if it's for an email, the steps that you would want to follow are to, of course, use a proper greeting, but make a reference to the past or the purpose of this email and how it is in the benefit of that other party. And then the second step is to educate what's the purpose of this email, whether it's status, confirmation, request, or instructions, or maybe just providing information. And the third step is to always provide a reference to the future. So there's a reference to the past, you know, the information that you intended to send, and then a reference to the future.
Yeah, past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. Okay. Easy. Easy to remember.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. So if it's internal, then I would recommend that you use more positive start, like, how was your day, or thank you for, you know, your conversation on the phone, and this email is in reference to this topic. And when you finish, thanks again, and I look forward to your follow-up. If it's internal, you can leave some of the fluff off and just start with, in reference to your request, here is the information, and then provide, please get this to me by this time and call me at this number with any questions.
That's for the external one?
Yes, or yeah, internal. Okay. For internal, it's a bit, it's a little drier than the external.
Oh, the external one was the how
yeah,
are
the
you
external,
doing?
The external you want to start with, you know, thank you so much for your recent inquiry. And when you finish, please feel free to call us at this number. And thanks again for choosing us.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
Where with internal, that's, you know, that's your colleague that you know. And you would say, in reference to your request for this information, here are the items. Feel free to call me at this number or at this email to with any questions.
Understood, yeah. And that same formula applies to pretty much any correspondence or just for email, do you think?
Well, any correspondence, when I start the course, really important that people have a thesis. And when I define thesis, to mean that's just not a main point.
I hear thesis in my blood.
What you're asking for and how it is in the interest of your audience.
Okay.
So when you can put those two things together in one sentence, then you might not even need to write much more in your email. You can be more to the point.
Succinct, yes. Sounds like that's very important and easy to, or hard really to get to the nuts and bolts of what the point is sometimes. And maybe that's a good side effect of the social media world is that, you know, if you have 140 spaces, you've got to, you know, narrow it down to the essence of what you're trying to say. Maybe that's a good little exercise every now and then.
So true. So true.
Now, what kind of grammar mistakes do you feel like people need to be brushed up on? What do you see the most that that catches your eye the most?
Well, I think that with business writing, we do write the way that we came from school, or like I said, we can be extra wordy. So I really enjoyed a particular author for one of my classes. I've used a lot of her examples. It's Business Writing, What Works, What Won't by Wilma Davidson. And she talks about the overuse of who and which and that. Hmm. And those... these sentence parts, parts of speech that connect our thoughts and probably elongate what we intended to say. For example, you could say Quorum's, which is a subsidiary of Speedy Incorporated, handles its own marketing and training. Or you could say Quorum's, a Speedy Incorporation Quorum's, a Speedy Inc. subsidiary, handles its own marketing and training. Mm-hmm. And if you just took out the word which and that and who, and also the overuse of the word I, you need to have some variation in your sentences. Otherwise, it sounds very much like you're begging.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could simplify instead of, I would like to say thanks, just say thank you.
Right.
Right?
Like, who's
we
stopping
don't
you?
Have to use as much of the subjective in our speaking. I always often mention that writing an email is like legal tender, and it can be used to cash, you know, what you want, or can be used and held against you. You don't need to be flowery. Just be to the point.
Well, now, what's the name of that book? What Works and What Don't? Is that what you said?
Oh no. She said, and what won't.
And what?
That would be funny.
I thought
funny.
She was being,
that
I thought she was
like
trying to be
Stephen
facetious.
Colbert.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, What Works, What Don't, and what's, or won't. And right. Who is the author again?
And that's Wilma Davidson.
Okay, Wilma Davidson, everybody.
Yeah, she has a lot of great examples and even picture examples of what she's talking about. And while she doesn't really talk about the social media side, and maybe she's made another book since, I think that she really cuts at the heart of a lot of bad grammar that I've seen and, you know, that I address in my classes.
Mm-hmm. Those are good points, though. I like, and you know, all of this stuff is something that I can certainly apply as well.
Right. You wouldn't even realize it. And then you see how much clearer would I sound. Did I have to say the manager that I talked to yesterday, manager I talked to yesterday.
Right.
It's very clear.
Yeah. And you're not losing. Yeah, you're not losing anything, and it just makes the line that much shorter. It's always a good thing. Mm. Something I've been working on. Now, what do you think about humor in business correspondence and business writing? And it's a tricky thing.
Well, I always say that writing is the lowest context form of communication, and low context comes from the anthropologist Edward T. Hall, who came up. Well, he wrote the book Beyond Culture and the Silent Language, where he says that in some cultures the word means more than the situation. In other cultures, the situation means more than the word. But when we put something in writing, the word just means the word. So it therefore is the lowest context form of communication. And just like lawyers understand, those words can be held to the line when you're when a situation is being judged. Often if you watch Judge Judy back in the day, they would say, do you have a document to say that she said she would give you that money at the end of that service being performed? And if they didn't have anything, then it was just a hearsay. Mm-hmm. It was just a misunderstanding. But when we write things in words, there is no humor the lower context you go. So it's very difficult. If you put a smiley face after, I'm going to kill you for that, it's not funny. The judge could use that to say that you threatened someone's life.
Okay.
If you say, well, I would like to, but I'm not sure, no one that doesn't know you, or they wouldn't get that you were joking. So what we put in writing often gets misunderstood. And, you know, with our text messages that we send to each other, you have some leniency. But I often find girlfriends who are obsessing about, he only wrote this back. Yep. I wonder if he's mad.
Right.
Really? You know, come on. But in business, that's the most dangerous place to be. And so using that proper, you know, this formula, you make sure you address the person. Hey, I appreciate your feedback on this. Here's the information you requested. Feel free to contact me with any other questions. And thanks again for choosing us. That could be the same response that you give to someone who said, I really hate your company. I never want to do business with you guys again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could say, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just mention this already, that sorry is a very dangerous word.
Oh.
Sorry, the word cost money. So if you put sorry in an email, it better be at the beginning, we apologize, and every other line should be about what you're doing to fix it. And then you finish out with thanks again for your business.
Okay.
So that you're not, you know, charging yourself more reparation with that other party.
So if it's at the beginning, you're addressing, you're apologizing, and then you're taking action to fix it. And if it's at the end, are you just basically just admitting fault and leaving it at that? Is that the difference?
I like to go the Dale Carnegie route. And one thing that he said in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, is apologies should be done quickly and emphatically. You start out with your apology, and then everything else should be about correcting the matter. But you don't want the other party to return to that point of pain, because the more times you use it, the more that they feel sorry for themselves and feel that they deserve reparation.
Mm.
And secondly, the more that you use it, it diminishes the value to the other party as far as whether you really mean it, especially when you don't have any other reparation mentioned in that communication. So it's very delicate. I always recommend that My students don't finish out. And again, sorry about that. Really?
Right.
Just focus on repairing the relationship, not reminding them that you are in a weak balance with them, with the other party, for whatever was merited the apology. And if they're using it, also, some people just use sorry if they bump into you in the hallway.
Right.
They're just always sorry. But, you know, that's going to cost the company, because you have, you know, certain clients who take a sorry and they'll say, well, you guys made the mistake.
Yeah, you admitted it. You know you're wrong.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And I had never heard that before. So that's a perfect way to wind up. Never say sorry unless you really mean it and only at the beginning. And right. You can find Alincia Williams at the Training Connection here in Los Angeles. She has a bunch of classes and you can tell that she knows what she's talking about. Please go to trainingconnection.com for more information. My name is Brooke Peterson. Up next is Dot Cannon with Over Coffee. Don't go anywhere. See you next week.